You worked hard to lay the foundation for your contracting business. And when you're with Amex Business Platinum, you can keep building it up with a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business. And since you earn 5 times membership rewards points on flights and prepaid hotels booked on AmexTravel.com, you get even more from on-site overseeing. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness.
One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones, too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
Well, they take it over because they knew that was our ticket to building wealth. People got rich off of the gold rush. People got rich off of the oil. Our people got rich off of real estate. And they said, damn, we just gotta take it. Corporations come in and said, nope, we buying up everything. And we're gonna make sure you can't afford it.
Bro, how are you the king of out-of-state real estate? And you getting rid of real estate with all the real estate people online telling us buy, 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 and you selling, 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 selling.
Or you can't afford a down payment on the house, take the money you was gonna put on the house. Go take that, now go learn about how to trade. Go learn about stocks. Go learn about crypto. Go learn and say, you know what, I ain't got 30,000, but I got 5,000.
What's your message? What's your message to black? What's your message to straighten us up, to get us where we need to go?
Wait. I know you want to watch this next video, but listen, if you are an entrepreneur, business coach, business consultant, or a small business owner who has a story and wants to learn how to create multiple streams of income from your story, I need you to text me right now, my book, to 646-687-4152. That is my personal number. I have been an author for over 12 years. I've written 10 books. 4 of them have been bestsellers, and I've sold over 100,000 books, but I've also helped a lot of my clients take their expertise and put it into a story, then create multiple streams of income from that. So I want to help you do the same thing. So text my book to 646-687-4152. All right, let's go back to the video.
All right, so welcome to another awesome episode of Inside the Vault with Ash Cash, the greatest money mindset show on the planet. Listen, this man needs no introduction at all. If you are a fan of Inside the Vault, even if you're not a fan of Inside the Vault, you have to have seen Storm Leroy. He is, to this day, the highest viewed show on Inside the Vault with Ash Cash. His clips have gone viral, seen millions and millions and millions of times. If you know him, then you know me, my brother, my mother's kids, Storm Mother. My brother.
Man, like, you don't even know. So, first and foremost, I'm always excited to. Interview people because I only interview people that I'm interested in, that I could learn something from, that I could share with the audience. But just like our first interview, I think our first interview started because behind the scenes, like you were blessing me and my family's life so much so that I felt like selfish. Like I'm like, man, why am I holding this dude, Paul, all to myself? I'm like, yo, like, he has a lot of wisdom that the people need. Fast forward, you know, we've done some legendary. I'm talking about like legendary things together. And I mean, so much. We've done so much legendary things together, too much to name.
Facts.
You know what I'm saying? And now we're here, and it's almost that time again.
It's time.
Yeah, where I feel like there's a lot going on in the world, but you are futuristic. A lot of the things that you told me 2 years ago happened. Like there isn't a thing that you told me was going to happen, and I'll be 100% transparent. When you say them, I'd be like, this thing is bugging. I ain't gonna lie. I'd be like, bro, you bugging. Like, I'd be listening, and I'd be like, yo, this not gonna happen. Like, because it doesn't, because again, at the time that it's happening, I can't see.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about everything that you've said that would happen has happened. We've been on the phone a lot, and you've been telling me some stuff. This time, I'm not even questioning it. I'm just like, you know what? I'm going. You know what I'm saying? So much so.
Yeah.
And again, I'm giving full transparency. So much so, a lot of people know you, as Mr. Out of State Real Estate. Like you are the king. I'm not gonna say we're the king. You are the king of out of state real estate. You got a lot of grandchildren out there. I'm not even gonna say children. I'm saying grandchildren. I'm saying you got a lot of grandchildren. Like, you have birthed a lot of people who are literally taking your methodologies that I know, because I'm in the space, that nobody was talking 3 LLCs. Nobody was talking about, property management, Section 8, income, like tenant occupy. Nobody was really talking that.
A living trust game.
And so you came in the game, right? You birthed a lot of people. They took off, and now they birthing a lot of people. So that's why I say you got a lot of grandchildren. But so much so that you gave me, you talked about how you started to offload your property.
Yes.
And I'm bugging. I'm like, yo, why is this cat offload his properties? And intuitively, I said, I'm going to do the same thing.
Yeah. That's good, bro. Yeah, you cooking. You right. Go ahead.
Like, intuitively, you said it to me. And then after that, like, a week later, like I surprised you, like, bro. And you're like, what? Like, yep. And so I want to talk about that. I want to talk about a lot though, right? Because I want my people to be blessed. But for those who don't know, they know you. But for those who don't know,
right?
Who is Storm Leroy?
Man, Storm Leroy. Storm Leroy is a realist.
Yeah.
Not a motivational speaker. Yeah. I'm a realist. I'm somebody that look at the numbers. I look at current affairs. I look at everything around me. I absorb my surroundings. And then I now evaluate what's going on. But I don't look 1 year. I don't look 2, 5, and 10 years out. You know why? Because that's the way you have to think. If you really trying to make it through this, navigate through this field, landmines that they have for us, the people who literally holding us back, they already got their plan made up. They already got it figured out in their back room. I told people, I always like to go back to posts that I put up all the time. I tell people, I'm not worrying about who's going to win presidency because I want to be there when they take him to that back room and show him the people who really run the country, because that's who really run the country. All the United States is a big corporation. President is the CEO. The people in the back room are the shareholders who make the decisions.
Yeah.
To this day.
Yeah.
But that's what I am. You know, real estate, we're going to get into all of those things, but I'm a realist, brother.
So I'm getting right into the source, right? So we know you as the employed millionaire, was working for Verizon, became a multimillionaire by investing in out-of-state real estate property.
Yep.
You've amassed over $3 to $4 million in assets while you had a 9-to-5, quit live, and you had a total of 43 properties.
Yeah, 41. No, 43. 43. You're right. 43.
And you offloaded.
So 31.
One of them.
Yep.
Bro, how are you the king of out-of-state real estate and you getting rid of real estate with all the real estate people online telling us buy, 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 buy,
and you selling, make it make sense for me.
Make it make sense. Okay. Everything evolves.
Yeah.
The hood, which we like, the urban areas, the Bed-Stuy, the Long Beach, the Comptons, you pick a neighborhood anywhere, right? Those neighborhoods, you were able to buy these properties when I got in the game, $40,000, $60,000. Like, I bought my brownstones in Brooklyn, $350,000. Now today, worth $1.7 million, almost $2 million, right? I bought properties in Alabama for $40,000. And those neighborhoods now, they're like $160,000, $180,000. The people in those areas, their salaries ain't go up. Properties in Milwaukee, properties in Cleveland. My properties everywhere,
yeah.
Right? So now the thing is this. If you're looking at the value of these properties, and now when I started selling them, I was selling them lightly, like, all right, let me sell it and buy something else. But then I realized the only people I was selling them to, and I made a post about this, I said, I want to get on this camera and let y'all know that I've been selling properties, and I'm realizing the only people who could afford them are other investors, are corporations, are the Black Rocks and Vanguards, because these wasn't regular investors. Because they were paying me anything I wanted. And I said, damn, am I part of the problem? I said, I'm selling these properties to these people, and the people in the neighborhood are not going to be the ones who are able to afford it. They're going to bring in other people to either regentrify the neighborhood or just start pushing people out. Now, my thing is, we hear everybody, oh, I want to buy the block, or I'm buying this, and I'm, flipping this and flipping that. But my thing is, yeah, but who's the end user? Who's the person you selling it to? Yeah, you're doing something nice by fixing up 10 or 12 properties on the block. But look, this right here is you want to take all the equity out that property, so you ain't going to sell it to the lady across the street, her son, her daughter, or the grandmother. You like, nah, I bought it for 40. I could renovate it, get 250, but I could sell it to the lady across the street for 200. Cats ain't thinking like that. A lot of them are not. So my thing was, you know what? If this is going to be the trend, because this is capitalism at its finest, I started realizing I wanted to get rid of these properties because I'm not going to be doing anybody any service by just buying in these neighborhoods to give them back to these corporations. And on top of that, if I keep them, the tenants that's going to be moving in, it's last year was the worst year I ever had in real estate. As far as losing money, excuse me. I lost in, I'm talking Section 8. I'm talking veteran housing. I'm talking regular tenants that were paying. People lost a lot of jobs, and they played with the system. I lost roughly probably about, I'm going to keep it real, maybe about almost $100,000.
Off of real estate.
Off of real estate,
wow.
Right? Because that come from you having people play with the system.
Yeah.
People knew that, and they say landlord-friendly states, that didn't mean anything because the judge can give an eviction, but you need the sheriff to serve them. So I said, you know what? The areas are really going down. Even though the property value was going up in these areas, the tenant quality is going down. Yeah. Tenants are losing jobs. People are losing jobs. Yeah. AI is just literally getting rid of jobs. Yeah. So my thing was, I sold them. Because I realized areas that's heavily dependent on Uber drivers, cashiers, factory workers, like manual labor people, those are the people losing jobs. And I said, I don't want no parts of it. That made sense for me to sell those. And now I went on to buy properties that are multi-units, 20, 30 units, buying properties internationally, properties in Thailand, Bali, Dominican Republic, places like that, because that's the shift. So you got to understand and know when to pivot. Areas, I want everybody to look in your communities and think about this. And I said this before. We're going back to the 90s, bro. If you look at in L.A., Figueroa, and in Brooklyn, we got women back on the street selling their bodies, bro. Like out there in the street in broad daylight. You got drugs. You got jobs, job loss.
Yeah.
And I'm looking going, how are people not able to eat and they homeless, but right up the block, there's a $20 million development. There's a $3 million building. There's a $1.7 million brownstone, all this. But you got the drugs? That's 90s. You got the women back out selling their bodies? That's 90s. You got the job loss. That's the 90s. But then again, you got this thing digital.
Yeah.
Crypto, all this stock, all this money all around.
Yeah.
The difference between that and the 90s, back in the 90s, it was the dot-com boom era. Everybody was getting money. We was able to get money. See, now here's the same space, the same time. And I want y'all to look at these podcasts and other shows too, which I don't knock them.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. What do you see most? Prize picks.
Facts.
DraftKings.
Facts.
When a community of people are in a decline, you start seeing promotion of drugs and gambling and alcohol. So they coming for us. And I said, you know what? I'm getting out of that space, B, because I already know the problem of what's going to happen with real estate. Yeah, look, I'm not telling nobody not to get in real estate. What I'm telling you is buy in high-quality areas where you're going to spend a lot more for a property but get a lot better tenant, and you're going to pay more rent. But the objective is corporations is taking over the real estate space. And I'm not going to be too long-winded, but I want to try to have people understand.
Yeah.
It's just like when gold... You were able to, people were able to go out, dig for gold, go get gold, and then have money. But then corporations and the government stepped in and said, we're going to take your gold, and now we're going to give you paper tender. Uh-huh. They control the gold. Just like oil. You used to be able to get some land, they would go dig for oil, find oil, and now their family had wealth. But who stepped in? Corporations, and said, no, we got the oil.
Yeah.
Now, real estate's the same thing. Corporations come in and said, nope, we're buying up everything, and we're going to make sure you can't afford it. They buying it all up at a price that they know in the future they're going to make money. Mm-hmm. If you look at all these high-rise buildings going up, they say for lease. Mm-hmm. Ain't nobody selling nothing no more. Mm-hmm. They locking it in like a commodity, like gold, oil, and real estate. Yep. It's going to be three things you're not going to be able to touch. Yep. You're going to be better off investing in REITs, real estate investment trusts, mm-hmm. because real estate is going to be something unobtainable for this younger generation coming in.
And so... I want to touch on that a little bit, though, because it's making a whole lot of sense. And I just want to clarify for what you, to hear correctly what you're saying. It's like all of the different ways that the things that had value, every time they increase in value, corporations or the government take those things over.
Well, they take it over because they knew that was our ticket to building wealth. People got rich off of the gold rush. People got rich off of the oil, the movie There Will Be Blood. Yeah. We got rich. Our people got rich off of real estate. Yeah. And they said, damn,
now
we just got to take it.
And it's funny because I'm looking at this article, a recent article that says there was a study by Georgia State University researchers, and they found that three corporations own more than 19,000 homes in Atlanta's five metro counties, right? And so they say Atlanta has more of these properties than the next couple of metros combined, right? And so what it sounded like, right? So you think three corporations? Why do the corporations own 19,000 homes, right? And to your
just Atlanta.
So I'm just talking the metro Atlanta. And to your point, it's like, all right, bet. I'm gonna buy these homes, right? I'm gonna buy these homes. If I'm a corporation, I'm gonna buy these homes at a price that I know that's gonna be competitive, that a regular seller can't really compete with me. I'm gonna give them above average, but like just like the regular investor, if you will, they're looking at maybe you know 5-10 years down the line. While the corporation is probably looking 20 years down the line.
They're not selling.
And you think about it, it's almost like a monopoly, if you will, right? Because I want to say, I think it was Chase or BlackRock, bought 100,000.
Throughout the United States, last 5 years, they bought over 300,000 homes. And that's in the warm climates.
Right.
They didn't go to the cold climates yet. And I tell people, you know, my thing is this. They didn't go to the cold climates yet because we didn't start doing renovations and fixing them yet. Like, once we start fixing up Atlanta, Memphis, L.A., Compton's, Bed-Stuy, and we went renovating all these neighborhoods, they said, thank you. I got it from here, yay. And now, look, Detroit, Chicago, all these areas, we renovating them. Don't you think they're going to come up there and go, thank you. We're going to buy it from all of y'all who said we're going to fix up the blocks. And then they're going to take those. See what I mean? Because that's that thing, bro, with... When you're able to cut people's legs off and stop them from owning, and you gotta think, it's not even us, it's our kids' kids. They are being trained to be renters. we grew up, we were groomed by our parents about, you better go own something. You better go own something. Because I heard my dad say it, and I went and bought something. But now you got kids now who parents are literally renters, and now they're not talking to them about renting. They're talking about how real estate's too high, houses cost too much. And that kid's growing up renting, so what he's going to do? Yeah. Rent. He drive around, all he see is signs that say for lease. Yeah. He's going to become a renter.
Yeah.
And once you control them and have them stuck, they have communities now, I want y'all to look this up, where they have forever leases, just whole communities built around rent, around leasing.
And it's funny because, so a couple of things, right? We'll unpack because number one, this thought process around, people, talking about like real estate. If I hear you correctly, the fix and flips are not even really helping us for real, right? So if you out here, saying, hey, fix and flip, you have actually an asset that's probably worth something. You're putting the money into that asset, making it nice. You're selling it to an investor who's probably going to give you some money. So you're going to make money one time on the short term. But the truth of the matter is that now you're taking that inventory.
It's never coming back. So I admire everybody who does the fix and flips, right? But my thing is, you just admit it. Like, you're in this for capitalism.
Yeah, yeah.
You're not going to buy a house and then order say, you know what, I'm going to take a $50,000 loss on it.
Yeah.
Like, I did two posts where I sold two of my property. I sold one to a young student, just got her a loan in Atlanta, I think it was called Acorn or Hope or something like that, one of them programs. And I did another one in Detroit. Mm-hmm. I said, I'm selling two properties. Yeah. And I'm going to break even, but I'm giving those to a family. I'm giving them to somebody because I'm going to just do my part. I made enough bread.
Yeah.
And my thing is this. I'm 55 years old. I don't need all the cars and luxuries. I did that before social media.
I told Cass,
yo, bro, I don't have that Mercedes. I don't have that one. I don't have that S. I don't have that SK. Like, now I'm older. So
I drove every car.
I drove every car. Like, I'm happy when I see cats now doing their thing.
Yeah, yeah.
At the same token, my thing is, show me the results of the people, though. Don't just, like, how much you've sold something. It's, like, what fruits are you leaving behind, though? Yeah. So real estate, like, areas and neighborhoods, bro, in the next, really, 2030?
Yeah.
I feel bad for our hoods, man. I'm dead up with the drugs, the crime, not being able to afford rent, jobs, and the new people that moved in, like, the gentrification. When people moved into the area and they made your property value go up, and it wasn't the people who lived in the area, for example, I'm always going with Bed-Stuy. Like, when our houses went up and people came in and they said, all right, bet we're going to buy these brownstones for $1 million, $2 million. Nobody in the neighborhood could do that.
Right.
What they did, though, to make the neighborhood safe, they gave everybody jobs so the new people could move in, could feel safe.
Right.
But what they should have done is said, we're going to give you jobs, and in 5 years, we're going to create a mortgage program where you could start buying homes in your neighborhood. Because now when these people lose those jobs, who going to become the wolves that these same kids going to come after and start robbing in the neighborhood? It's going to be those new faces.
And it's funny because I always feel like there's only going to be the haves and the have not. Like, there's
period.
No middle. Either got it or you don't.
It's now. It's not even, it's going to be, it's right now.
Yeah.
You have or you don't have.
Yeah. And so now you offloading all of these properties. What should we be doing with the money then? Or what's a better investment?
Like I said, first thing I want to advise people, and I want to say this to my young people, take a trip out the country. Please travel.
Yeah.
Don't take your homies. Don't take your girlfriend. Go by yourself. Go see the world. Go expand. Because you have to realize this thing is much bigger than you. Places are much bigger than you. Then take somebody with you. But for me, I'm investing my money into international real estate, digital, cryptocurrency.
Yeah.
And I'm investing my money into stocks and in tech. Like, I'm heavy, heavy in tech. And we could get into that talk. But you have to start balancing your portfolio to start realizing real estate is going to be a commodity that's going to be taken off the table.
Yeah.
And our grandkids won't be talking about it like how I talked about it, how I bought this, and my pops and people talked about it.
Yeah. And so speaking of which, though, right, I think that There's a lot of people online who are talking about, you know, generational wealth, multi-generational wealth. And one of the things that has always been something that like a staple in our community is, you know, really just going off the backs of our ancestors or the people that came before us. And so, you know, grandma, you know, she went through some struggles. She did what she needed to do. She bought that house. That house is building. And the number one thing I'm hearing is do not sell grandmama's house.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on that?
Man, sell grandmama's house, y'all. Stop taking the old traits and terms that we've heard before. Yeah, I want them to.
Sell
grandma house. Let me tell you why, right? Yeah. Prime example, and this is what hit me. There's a lady on my neighbor. She passed away. She had 3 kids. So she bought the house for like $83,000. House was worth, when she died, $1.2 million. So the thing was, you had one that wanted to live in it, one that wanted to sell it, one that wanted to just renovate it and then rent the place out. I said, okay, why are y'all considering doing either one of those when the fact is, who has the money to renovate a house that hasn't been done since the 1980s? How much money y'all gonna get for rent? $4,000 amongst 3 of y'all? So now what y'all getting, $1,300 a piece? And y'all got a $1.2 million property sitting there. See, the problem isn't selling grandmama's house. The problem is people don't have the knowledge to know what to do with the money after they sell grandmama's house.
Yeah.
Sell grandmama's house, go get a living trust, buy some more assets, buy some more real estate, set up the grandkids, get some life insurance policies, and now make grandmama smile. Because y'all feel like, oh, I'm going to keep this. I'm going to hold this heirloom. Like, stop holding the heirloom. Grandmama brought that brooch. Or she brought this thing, and now she's looking down going, you better sell that thing, baby. That's what I got it for. See, and this is a show I watch called American Pickers. I don't know if anybody watched this show. American Pickers is these 2 dudes who drive across the country buying, like going to people's houses, to the barns. They be finding the old vintage cars, old paintings, like a bunch of old stuff. And my thing is this, it's very rarely it's a black family. And what I say to myself every time they go somewhere and they find an old Ford T car and all this stuff, and I say, what were black people doing? It was either Jim Crow or we were slaves. We don't have assets. We didn't have assets. We weren't allowed to own assets. We didn't start becoming able to do things until the 1960s. So to think of 60s.
Wow.
60s.
Which is like, what, 60 years ago?
60s.
Wow.
You find a, very rare you'll find a black family that had anything in the 1910s, 20s, 30s, 40s, or 50s.
Wow.
So we didn't have anything.
Yeah.
So now you got to think, if you have something now, you got to take that asset and now mature to make it grow into something that creates a legacy, just like these other families who have these old cars, these old paintings, these things. We don't have them, but we have been told because our grandparents and our great-grandparents, they didn't have nothing. So the first inkling was keep it.
Yeah.
But now things evolve to where it's like, okay, now I'm going to take it, sell it, and now I'm going to create the legacy that she always wanted.
Yeah.
That's my thing about selling grandmama's house.
It's funny because, you know, like.
And another thing, brother, too, last interview we did, everybody's like, why y'all talk so loud? That's that New York book I said. Brooklyn, that's that Brooklyn thing. So y'all gotta be ready. It's not talking.
But here's the other thing though too, right? When you think about it, you know, there's so many nuances in trying to keep, you know, the asset, right? Because like you said, if you got this house that appreciated, now grandmama bought it for $80,000, now it's worth $1.2 million. What we're not talking about also is that as the neighborhood begins to gentrify and all of the property values start to increase, property taxes actually go up as well. So even if you decide to say, hey, I'm gonna keep this property, you now are gonna be paying property taxes that there is no appreciation on property taxes.
Right.
That's just money just
going out.
Going out. That you're, it's almost like, even though you're an owner, you're actually paying rent.
Yeah.
Right?
Facts.
So that's the number one. The number two is that, like you said, if you wind up living there, you now have
we from New York, and I'd be like, yo, dead ass, you know, right? You not gonna dead ass it, right? Because all that equity is sitting in the walls, that asset. Yeah. And so you're saying, just for clarity, that sell grandmama's house now that you know, these three kids who own this house worth $1.2 million, now they have $1.2 million. How do they make it multiply, right? Because again, you know, don't take this $1.2 million and, you know, go buy, you know, clothes or use it for rent or whatever, because it's going, you're going to lose it.
Right.
How do you make it multiply?
Easy.
I'm thinking real estate, right? In my own mind, I'm saying, yo, I'm going to buy more real estate. I'm going to run the Storm Leroy play, right? I'm going to sell this house, get this money. I'm going to buy some properties in out of state, because those properties are now are more affordable. I could get 30 properties. I'm going to get tenant occupied. I'm going to find where they have programs like Section 8, tenant occupied. And now that cash flow, I'm going to live off the cash flow while my assets, accumulate.
Right.
Nah, Leroy is up.
That's over, because remember, you ain't buying no more 40,000, 60,000 properties in the United States that has value or in decent areas. Yeah. Now, I don't recommend nobody buying houses in C-class areas. Like, it's not worth it. The tenant and the headaches you're going to get is not worth it. Yeah. If you get that kind of money, you sold grandma's house, I'm going to tell you key things to get. Life insurance, get a financial advisor. Yeah. Life insurance policies on you, your family, your kids. Get a living trust. Get yourself a financial advisor who can direct you into getting the right stocks. Get some EFTs. Yeah. Definitely invest in like the Magnificent Sevens. Learn about those things. Definitely have a conversation about what digital currency is going to be like, because the world is evolving. Your grandkids are not ever going to touch paper money. So I wouldn't tell you not. I say buy a house for you to live in, but move into a nice area where you got a nice house and you're going to get a good deal and that house is going to get equity, definitely. But don't run out here trying to buy 10, 15 properties.
Yeah.
That ain't going to fly. You're going to go, and don't go say, I'm going to Chicago, I'm going to go out to Ohio, I'm going to buy me a bunch of tax lien properties, get me a contractor, fix them up and let him do this and trust him. Now I got to put tenants. But look at the tenants, though. If you know this area is reliant on people who have manual labor jobs and them joints are going to be gone, you're putting yourself in the red.
And so here's the other thing, though, right? Because now I'm
there. And another thing, don't be afraid to buy some condos. Please, if you're living in an apartment now, buy you some condos. Like, that's really going to be a safe haven for a lot of younger generations. Get you some of those, okay?
And because in my head, again, I'm thinking, yo, I sell the house. I'm gonna put this money into assets, right? You say that buying assets don't create generational wealth, but paperwork does. Explain that for me.
Yeah, just because you got this $1.2 million and now you bought everything and now you got the house, you got the stocks, you got the crypto accounts, you got your brokerage accounts, you got the life insurance policies, that shit don't mean nothing if you don't have the right paperwork dictating how it's going to get spread throughout your generations. People say, oh, I'm going to just leave this to my kids. You know, they're going to take care of it. No. Why are you leaving your legacy into the hands of your kids? Yeah, all kids, we know they're nice. They're your kids. But when they become adults, they got a mind of their own. Yeah. Now they could go, all right, you know, I'm going to take this money. I'm going to go take trips. Yeah. They might develop a habit. Now that money is gone. Yeah. Get yourself a trust. Sit down and organize how that money is going to spend. This generation is only getting this much. The next generation is getting that much. This much is going into a brokerage account so they can live off of this interest. It's just as simple as that. We make it more hard than what it is because we don't have nobody else around us who's actually done it and to have the conversation about it.
And it's funny, I was watching CNBC earlier today, and they talk about the big wealth transfer that's going to happen.
Oh, my
God. It was like $146 trillion. Trillion dollars. That are going to be transferred, from the boomers, right? It's going to go to boomers. Most Gen Z are going to get them. Then you got millennials, but like the amount of money of that wealth transfer is happening
And so when you think about the mindset of sort of like Gen Z, Gen X, like these generations who are minimalist, who, like you said, have been conditioned into renting, right?
Right.
Like think about this, right? And you know, it's not even a conspiracy. It just is what it is. It's like and you're absolutely right. They're doing it. They're actually conditioning us not to own, right? Remember when, and I know you remember, I remember when I owned music, I owned movies, right? Like I, you know, I'm young enough, right? I'm young enough, I'm old enough, but still young to remember, like I worked at Blockbuster Videos. Like I remember when we were buying tapes, like we were like a movie came out, we bought the VCR tapes, then DVDs came out. Like I had a whole notebook full of DVDs.
Yes.
I could watch them whenever I
you want.
I was the owner of it, right? Then same thing with music, right? Tower Records, HMV, you know what I'm saying? People have records, people had cassettes, people have CDs. Like there was this ownership that happened. Fast forward, nobody, unless you held on to your old stuff, nobody owns music.
Mm-hmm.
Like right now, like I'll give you a prime example. I don't know what was happening with my Tidal, right? I don't have Apple Music, I have Tidal. And I have a playlist, and I listen to this playlist every time I get into the shower. And I tried to get in the, I got in the shower, and I tried to play it, and it wouldn't let me log in. It was just acting wonky. And I got upset, and I said, yo, this is crazy to me that I actually don't own any of this music. That this music has been lend, like I pay them a monthly fee and they lend me the music. I pay a monthly fee of Netflix, same thing. I was binge watching a show on Prime and the show was free and I was watching it through my subscription. Whatever happened with the deal, all of a sudden they try to charge me to watch this show. I said, this is crazy to me where I'm paying over and over and over again, but I don't really own it. I just get licensed to be able to use it.
Right.
And then now that's what's happening in real estate.
Right.
They're taking all of the inventory right back so that they could rent it to you.
They're turning it into a subscription-based model.
Wow.
It's really what it is.
Right.
We're looking at it as renters and leasers because that's our generation, our terminology.
Yeah.
But I want you to think, they're thinking so far ahead. If you're a kid and you used to playing Netflix monthly, Apple monthly, your cell phone monthly, this monthly. Like, you got a subscription to everything. You're paying a subscription to live somewhere.
Yeah.
That's all they're looking at it.
Wow.
This is a subscription. And they're going to be like, okay, you can pay 6 months in advance. Pay 1 year subscription, 1 year rent. We give you 1 month free. So, like, that's their mind is conditioned like that. But if you take away the devices, now people can't use their things. You have all these records, but now you can't get a record player.
Right.
Like, that start just becoming... You can get one now, a Bluetooth turntable. Remember before, record turntables were like gone. And the people were like, no, man, I'm gonna find me a turntable. And I said, yo, we can make money if we make Bluetooth turntables. That's all it is, bro.
Yeah. And so let's talk digitally, right? Because you said, you talked about assets. You talked about digital currency. We recently saw, you know, Bitcoin did something miraculous going also over 100,000. You say that Bitcoin isn't the only thing reshaping the world digitally. You feel like real estate actually is doing the same thing.
How? Yeah, 1,000%. You gotta look at it like this. The digital space and assets are life changing. Like, you're gonna be able, like, I like to give this analogy. Our dads had wallets. Then we walked around, we had a wallet. But then we got a cell phone. So we had a cell phone and a wallet. Then we had children. Our children had a cell phone. They didn't carry wallets no more.
Yeah.
So now in their cell phone, they had their ID, credit card information. What do you think your grandchildren are going to have? They're not going to have cell phones. Like, everything evolves.
Yeah.
Digital is evolving in that space. Bitcoin is this thing up here. And now it's just a marketing tool. Bitcoin, XRP. Man, I had Ripple XRP for over 8 years.
Wow.
Like,
COVID.
I, Bo, I had that for the longest because, you know, I'm around those kind of people who talk about technology, and I love technology. Right. So my thing is this. If you know it's evolving, why aren't you buying something? Mm. We always wait and be the last one to go, I'm going to wait and see what happened. You know why? Because it don't cost much.
Yeah.
People are so hyped on Bitcoin because it's 80,000, 100,000. Yo, I got it. I'm going to get me one. My guy, when it was 1,000, when it was 10,000, nobody ain't want one. Not even XRP. Now it's $2.50. When it was 6 cents, 38 cents, what is this garbage?
Do we have an issue with not knowing when to come, you know, coming on assets? Like, we look at the value of something that is that
I'm going to make it simple.
Yeah.
We have an issue with looking cheap. Period. We will go out our way to go get that $200 pair of sneakers instead of saying to yourself, I can go get them $50 Pumas right there. You know, not saying Pumas is cheap or nothing, but I could go get a $50 pair of Pumas instead of the $200 pair of Pumas. Right. But somebody might know they $50. Yeah. Like, that's just us, and we handing that down. Right. So if somebody sends you something to say, yo, go buy this blockchain, which I tell everybody, like, I'm not an expert, but I know people. Yeah. Shout out to my guys, Tall Guy Tycoon and Marketing Guru, two people I talk to about crypto, and they enlighten me to death. Yeah. My account is very well in the six digits. You see it sitting well, right? So my thing is this.
Yeah, I saw it, and you sent me a list that I executed or
execute, well, right? So now
you can be if y'all want the list.
So my thing is this. You could send, like, I've sent people, you know, a lot of the things they send me.
Yeah.
And it's like, I just one called VeChain I talk about. This VeChain joint, I think it's like not even a penny yet. But cats won't buy it because it's not even a penny.
Right.
But you know who invested in this company? BMW, Walmart, UFC. Like, you got billion-dollar companies investing in that thing that's only 3 cents, probably not even 3 cents, maybe by now they watch this, 3 pennies, but you ain't going to buy it because it ain't $20 yet. It ain't cost nothing. You don't see value yet.
You don't see value of things that are on sale.
You got to have find value in the asset before the value exists.
Right.
That's where the value lies. Right. We don't get to hear about stuff until they market it and bombarding it with us because we're marketing junkies when we see something so much. Oh, I got to get that. Or he got it, or he got a Bitcoin. Oh, I got to get one. He got XRP. I got to get XRP. Yeah. I'm like, but don't y'all realize if we want to send each other money right now, I'm going to use Zelle.
Yep.
I'm going to use Cash App. I'm going to use something to travel that money.
Yeah.
Just like if I want to send you crypto, don't you know we need a vehicle to send it to each other?
Right.
The vehicle is worth more than the coin.
Got you. Yeah, yeah.
I won't be able to send it to you without the vehicle. Yeah. So what I'm telling you is, start investing in the vehicle.
Because how do you know, right? Not everybody has access to Tall Guy. Access to the marketing group.
Can get on the phone. We ain't doing that. We ain't doing that.
So, like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
we ain't doing that. Everybody out there, let me tell you, this is my brother. Love him to death. That's my mama's son. I'm going to tell y'all, excuses are over. Go to YouTube. Google. ChatGPT. You could type in ChatGPT right. ChatGPT right now, which is a Google-owned company, if I'm not mistaken. Y'all need to start investing in those top companies and ask it, what's the top blockchains? What's the top crypto that's going to be doing this? Like, because the information is there. Go to YouTube. I went on YouTube myself and literally said, I know guys who trade and do day trading. So I talked to a few of them, but I'm not that guy to keep bothering people. So I went on there and literally learning how to do this.
Yo, leaps.
Bo.
Yo, leaps.
Whoa.
You worked hard to lay the foundation for your contracting business. And when you're with Amex Business Platinum, you can keep building it up with a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business. And since you earn 5 times membership rewards points on flights and prepaid hotels booked on AmexTravel.com, you get even more from on-site overseeing. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Chicago Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Up this morning, like,
Leafs are doing us.
Because we got, bro, we got to look at the different avenues. Like, woke up today, extra 25,000 as soon as I wake up.
Yeah.
My account, almost at a million. And I'm talking, there's no, like, y'all got to understand how I feel right now, man, because we're on the edge of losing everything. There's no second chance. There's no we're going to have something else to invest in. Slow money making days are over. Ain't no slow money. I'm going to buy this building. I'm going to hold it for 20, 30 years. My G, take that same money. Or you can't afford a down payment on the house. Take the money you was going to put on the house.
Yeah.
Go take that. Now go learn about how to trade.
Yeah.
Go learn about stocks.
Yeah.
Go learn about crypto.
Yeah.
Go learn and say, you know what? I ain't got 30,000, but I got 5,000. Let me take that 5,000 and spread that amongst these things.
Yes.
Let me learn how to do these things. Like, we have to stop thinking that you got to sit down and ask somebody to tell you when most of them might have learned it from on that network somewhere.
Yeah.
We don't have a whole 2-3 years of being influencers teaching people.
Yeah.
And they still finding reasons to try to blame the influencer why they didn't learn nothing because they didn't do the work. You're not paying nobody to hold your hand. You're paying people to provide you with information, but execution is on you. This whole thing about, can I get on a call with you? Can I do a one-on-one with you?
Yeah.
Can I do, why?
Yeah, hey. Yeah.
Go online and go learn. Everything you need to know is right there. And I'm telling you, like, everything that you're afraid of happening is about to happen. All the money you think you're saving is every day losing money and losing value. All the things that you're saying, what if I lose my job? What if I lose my apartment? What if I lose my car? Guess what? If you don't do nothing, all those things are going to happen. Car payments are the highest they've ever been for the average person.
More, I think there's like a 63% repo.
Crazy. The highest ever.
Yeah.
Rent is not coming down. Home ownership. I don't care, like, y'all can sit there and talk about, oh, the interest rates are going to come down and all. And I'm going to go back to a post I did back in November over a year ago. I said, why do y'all think they're going to be dropping interest rates to help people buy houses?
Right.
Like, they don't want you to own houses no more. And even if they do drop the interest rate, the price of the house is going to go up because a lot of people are going to go out there and start buying. And you still like them able to own a house. So this, if you look online, the conversation with a lot of influencers who've been talking about real estate are gone.
Yeah.
Most of them, they're not online talking about real estate no more. You know why? Because you can't have the same thing about go buy a house here, go do a flip there, go get a mortgage here, go take out, like, and that's no not to them.
Right.
It's just pivoting.
Yeah.
But a lot of people don't want to go into the realization of telling people the truth.
Yeah.
My G, houses?
Right.
That shit is like bowling oil.
Yo, that's so. I felt it like when we were talking behind the scenes. I felt so compelled because I'm like, yo, Storm literally built his online career off of teaching people out of state, real estate, real estate, real estate. What was like that aha moment that you had that made you become so heavily invested in tech, digital, like digital currency? Like, what was that aha moment for you?
Everything evolves.
Yeah.
Everything evolved. You literally now don't need cable. You just need internet. Just go get HBO, go get Showtime. Everything evolved. Look at your cell phone. Look at where we come from. Like, if for 1 minute that we ever thought that a car would drive itself and people will be getting in timeshares and calling a car to get in.
Yeah. Yeah.
That right there speaks in volumes.
Yeah.
People will always need housing, yeah, but that don't mean you're going to own it. Everything evolves.
Yeah.
And if you're not evolving, you're dying.
Yeah.
So what makes you think that you're going to... And when I see people pull out like a handful of money, I look and laugh and go, you ain't got it figured out yet, my man. That paper in your hand is burning. You just don't feel the heat. That shit is on fire. Everything. What made me, because I understood from years of loving doing tech when I was a hacker. You know, I used to be a hacker. I made the New York Times by hacking computers. This was back when cell phones was analog. Y'all go watch the whole story of how that happened. But I know this is where it's going. So you got to get in tech.
And so, you know,
I'm a real, and I want to reiterate this. I'm not telling nobody not to own real estate.
Yeah.
Because you need to hedge against you being homeless. What I'm telling you is own the real estate that you live in. When you own the real estate you live in, now you can think peacefully. Now you're not worrying about your landlord saying you got 30 days to move. Now you're not stressed. And the greatest minds are hindered just by the simple fact that they don't have a simple thing like housing. The greatest mind could be in a homeless shelter right now. Kids of the future who could be presidents, who could be great scientists, astronauts, are somewhere in a homeless shelter right now watching a mother and father cry because they're getting kicked out. Couch and clothes and shit is out on the street. You feel me? But their mind is so strong.
Yeah.
Don't you realize we have conquered every sports there is,
yeah.
Every science there is,
yeah.
Everything there is. And you know the way to cripple us and cripple our kids is to take away peace for us to be able to think. Think about the achievements we've done. But what kills me the most is when I listen to music and I look at what's happened and said, if we only owned the publishing, the rights to the music, to be able to help the kids not have to keep hearing this same nonsense. Oh, bro, and I'm not, we had NWA, we had on the cursing, but guess what we had? Everybody Rakim, we had Public Enemy Team. You know what I'm saying? We had all that.
Self-destruction.
All they got now is, nigga, that's all they got.
Yeah. And the drill music that's literally convincing and subconsciously making it okay to kill one another.
Yeah, and it's no accident why they want all these female MCs on the heights right now.
Right.
The goal is if you have all the female MCs influencing all the other younger women that will be giving birth to these kids, that's the first point of contact. That's the first point of contact. So now when you see her dragging him and nigga get over here and listen to this and the shit and this, that, she's imprinting that on him.
Wow.
And it amazes me when I see the parents in the car with the kid and all this shit is playing and this shit is immune to them. Yeah. But then when they hear him curse, they go, I don't know where he got it from.
Right.
Like, I can't go to nobody's parties with kids and hear it playing and I'm sitting there going, yo, y'all got to turn it off or I got to go.
Right.
What are we doing?
Right.
It's not like cool. Yeah. We evolve. We evolved everything, including us, to the point where we said we evolved to be so intelligent. The next evolution of us being so intelligent is to see how much we can evolve being dumb. It's cool to look bummy and be a dumb dummy and disrespect your mummy.
Mm. Bars. 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 And so, if I hear you correctly, though, right, when I think about just us, I mean, when I say us, I'm talking about Black people in America, Black people around the world, actually, because it's not just America. When you think about capitalism, it feels like every time we, as Black people, you know, figure out how to get ahead, the goalposts move, right? So like you said, gold rush, .com boom, housing, like there was a time that, you know, really you could build real estate or you could build wealth with real estate, to the point where when a lot of times when you look at the wealth gap in America, they talk about real estate being the main driver of the average American's wealth, right? But now you're in a space where, you know, again, it's easy to make money fast, right? Because I think about even specifically, you know, my family, we bought a property 6 years ago that has since doubled in, you know, in value, that we are, you know, accessing some of that equity. But in the same breath, That's why I mentioned leaps, you know, 2 seconds ago, because my wife has gotten really into, you know, options and trading, thanks to Storm. Storm helped us, you know, kind of kickstart that. And, you know, we did a play where we were able to double. So with real estate, we doubled our money in 6 years. We did a play. We were able to double money in 6 months, right? Back to the point of you saying that you could actually, like make it slow money, right? Is dead, right? Like you have to learn what's happening now to kind of have sort of like fast money, and know what to invest in because the opportunities is now. When is that window going to close? Like if we continue to drag our feet, is there a time frame? Are we looking like, yo, the next 10 years, y'all better get into crypto, y'all better do this? Like when is, at what point, what do, as Black people, what are our marching orders?
Man, bro, listen, I'm only gonna give you my perspective, right? Because like I said, I love to do a lot of reading. And I'm gonna tell my people, look into quantum computing. Please go down that rabbit hole. If you realize where technology is going, you realize what AI is going to do, you realize what all the apps is going to do, you realize what the phones are going to do, you're going to realize that the average computer, which is just bits, which is just 1010, will not be able to compute everything that they're predicting for the future. This is why quantum computing is so important. If you look into where that's going and you start saying, well, if they need this to do that, let me start investing in that. And just with the conversation of that alone, I've made easily, because of that, you know, I told you about today. I hate talking about money because I don't want to make it seem like it's like this glorified thing.
Yeah.
But literally making $25,000 because I invest in where quantum is going. You have to look where things are going, not where it's at now. That's the importance of it. So, but my thing is 2030 is going to be a major time for us because there you're looking at a majority of jobs are going to be gone. And once the jobs is gone in the neighborhood, now you bring the stress back into the neighborhood. Now you bring the thing of, you know what? Damn, I got to eat. Who am I going to take this out on? I got to get this bread. Now you're dealing with the conflict of kids who are now, you know, unfortunately, they're not thinking right because the household's not right. They're finding it hard to concentrate, go to school. They're having these issues. So we're going to need to get our shit together like now. By 2030, if that magic number with everything that's going on, it may not be that. Yeah. It may be sooner. It may be later. But the point is, that time, they got things worked out against us because, bro, we are a freaking threat, bro.
Yeah. But speaking of threats, though, right, like I'm always for, you know, free speech, everybody's, you know, First Amendment rights and things of that nature. But when you think about the Black community and what's happening, you know, in this space with podcasters who are, I'm gonna just say the toxic podcasters, because I'm a podcaster too, but I don't put myself in that boat. I look at this big wave, and I want to say that it started after Kevin Samuels died, to be honest with you, because prior to Kevin Samuels, I don't think that there was this lane for Black relationship. There was always like Black relationship influencers, if you will. But this polarizing, you know, say whatever to get clicks and say whatever to go viral. That didn't happen until, you know, Kevin Samuels sort of like started that trend and then he, you know, continued it until he died. Yeah. And then there just became this pop up of all of these different, you know, people who are coming up and they're having, you know, these toxic ass relationship conversation that is separating the Black community if for real, right? And now we're starting to spill over into everything. So it goes from, you know, relationship, and now we, you know, you got toxic men talking to toxic women, and then now the toxicity is spewing over to the whole community where it looks like, oh, Black men don't support their Black women, and you know Black women are dating outside. Like, it's all of this conversation going on. Now it's spilling over to politics and a division there. You believe that these podcasters are threatening the Black community and really are sort of like stopping if you will, or because they're highlighting the negative stereotypes, they are you know, sort of like
destroying is the word.
Okay, talk to me.
Destroying.
Yeah.
Right. But before I mention that, my brain is always working a million miles a minute. Let me get this out. I want y'all to think about something because I need y'all to start thinking this way. If you're looking at autonomous driving, and this is for the last question because I don't want to forget this.
Yeah.
I think people will get a lot out of this. If you look at Waymo, which is a driverless car share service that Google owns, and look at Tesla now has a driverless car service, they need users. They need to be, when you open up your phone, you don't have a Tesla app to call for a car. You don't have a Waymo app to call for a car. Both of them want to dominate driverless car share. When you go to call a car, what app do you push in your phone?
Uber, Alert.
So what does that mean? If Uber has 1 billion rides every year, Waymo has a car, Tesla have a car, Uber has all the people. Don't it sound like they need Uber? Don't that sound like they might want to partner with them? So when your brain think like that, you might say to yourself, how much is Uber stock today? Because if they need Uber, since Uber get 1 billion shares, maybe I should go invest in Uber. Just want to leave that with y'all to think about that, all right? Yeah, yeah. But now, why do I think a lot of podcasts now are just destroying the wealth that we can create as Black people? It is not by coincidence that most of these shows owned on E! Is not owned by Black people, but we're characters. We're the ones. Because if you continuously have us, a man fighting against a woman, he needs to have this, he needs to do that, she needs to do... Now, that infects the brain of the younger generation. Ain't no difference than music. And now they going, a young lady in high school, what do you got? What do you drive? What do you do? And now his brain is like, well, what do you do? What do you do? Now you're killing that high school sweetheart.
Yeah.
You're killing that we met in high school and got married. Now you're destroying that. Now you're destroying somebody who can look at you and go, I see your potential. I see his potential. I see her potential. Now we're going to build together. Now we're going to create this business. We're going to create this family. What happened to the stories? I heard the stories about how my mother met my father, how my grandmother met my grandfather. Those stories are dead. So now if these shows consistently, all they talk about is, you better make sure he do this and do that. We are the biggest performers on the stage, but we are not the biggest viewers who are really sitting there watching this, gauging it on a, is this me? Do you think there's some, like, do you think there's a bunch of Asian girls, bunch of white privileged girls or whatever sitting around going, I'm going to do everything that they saying in that relationship and I'm going to leave this house and I'm going to ask, you know, Lee Wan, whatever his name, not being racially about it, but I'm going to say, what do you have? What do your family own? What do you do? Or they going to look and go, what can we build together?
Yeah.
See, the problem is, if you take out our DNA from everything that's been created, there would be nothing. If you take us out of music, what would it be? If you took us out of TVs, what would it be? You took us out of the shows. You take us out of anything.
Football, out of basketball, out of...
Won't exist.
Yeah, yeah.
But we're manipulated easily. And now these shows is another form of them using music against us to destroy your grandkids.
Right.
Your grandkids ain't gonna have a love story.
Right.
They ain't gonna have no, I met her in school. I met her while going to the library. I met her while going to the movies. We went on a date to the movies. We went on a car. Now what's this gonna do to wealth?
Yeah.
Two people can't agree. So now they're not gonna say, well, you work for Verizon, you work for the Postal, let's get together and build wealth.
Yeah.
Oh, you work for here. They're not gonna do that.
Yeah. And you know, the sad part about it though, too, is that this is built off of lies, that it's built off of a fantasy. It's built off of something that's not even really true. Because if you look at the average American, forget being Black. If you look at the average American, Black, white, Spanish, Asian, the average American family of four brings in $40,000, right? And so now you have this narrative going on in the Black community about this high value man, this high value woman, this six foot, six figure man that doesn't really exist because he's not like he is an anomaly. And the truth is, most of the high value men are married. And so there's not really a large pool of high value men out there. And so, like you said, these women are actually waiting. Right. To they're not even waiting. They're saying, listen, I'm not even gonna date if you don't have this thing. And if you don't have this thing, I'm not gonna date. Now you see, like you see in the community, you see a lot of independent Black women, right? Most Black women are opening businesses. They're making the most that they've ever made. So all of this rise, right, in this focus of Black women, but then there's not an equal rise of what's happening with Black men. And so because of that, there are a lot of single women out there who are dating outside their race, and then the men who are being shunned, or the Black men who are being shunned potentially by the women, are now dating outside their race. And then now, and I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with dating outside your race, but I'm saying that now this collectiveness of the Black community rising together doesn't exist.
And I hate to be that guy. There will be no such thing as a Black community. Like, think about it. The communities that are Black communities, who moves into these communities? Who's taking over and now buying up all the houses in these communities? We're not building our own communities. We have literally, when we say we have a community, what we say, we got Black Twitter. We got a Black Meet Me Online. That's a Black community.
Wow.
Like, think about it. Give me a Black neighborhood that has great value, that Black people own all of it. You're like, I'm like Martha's Vineyard or something. Where they're like, give me a neighborhood that we can say, we have athletes nowadays, bro, making $50 million a year, $1 billion, not two or three, a bunch of them.
Yeah.
And I'm happy for them. But my thing is this, in Rosewood, that generation, those people were one generation away from slavery, and they owned Banks Hardware stores. One generation away from slavery. We have athletes making billions. I always say, if you have Malcolm X and Martin Luther King, if you were able to talk to them, have a conversation and say, we got athletes making $1 billion. We got this one doing that. He got his own production. He got this here. We worth over trillions of dollars. You know what they would probably say back? Show us our banks. Take us to our neighborhoods. Show us our schools. Show us these things. Did they fight civil rights for us to do all these things, for you to be able to say, I make $50 million a year? Was that what was the civil rights movement built about? Who can make the most money? Was that it? Because we said once we get money, we're going to own blocks. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. I'm just saying, I'm not knocking nobody what they're doing. Yeah. What I'm saying is social media has created a generation of followers because of the follow button, which wasn't a coincidence. Please study why they created the follow button. Please study that. But how are you going to get a leader from a generation of followers? And now once that happens, bro, it's the tool that's being used, man. How? So I'm telling you, this is the most pivotal time, because there's not going to be another, in my opinion, another time where you can get wealth. With real estate, I already spoke about that. If you ain't doing it now with tech and everything else, you're going to sit around and go, well, shit, we ain't got nothing now. We ain't got nothing. Yeah, bro.
Nah, I like, you know, when you put it that way and you put it in perspective like that, it makes me wonder, like, why is it that? Like, why don't we have our own banks? Why are we the only, and I can't even use the word community, right? Why are we the only body of people who don't take care of ourselves first, right? Because I think a lot of times, and honestly, even what I'm about to say, like, why do I even have to say this, right? Like every time you talk about Black love, people are threatened by Black love, and I have to diminish my Black love by saying, you know, I'm not saying nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying, right? Like, I'm like, why do I have to do that?
Yes,
right. When Asians come into America, they build their own communities. Like, they got their own banks. They have their own, like, they have their communities. When Arabs come into this country, they have their own communities. When Indians come into this country, they have their own communities. So why is it that Black people who have, it's their native language, right? Meaning that they were took in however way we got here. Black Americans speak it, right? It's our native language. Like, why is it that with all of this access to money, with all of, like, why haven't we built our own communities?
Trust. We've been taught to not trust somebody with the same hue as you. Hmm. You look at TV. Where is anytime we're portrayed, it always starts from a point of struggle that ends with struggle. Mm. Like, the reason why they keep making slave movies over and over again, that never profitable, to keep reminding you and reminding that next generation that these people were once owned. Don't ever forget that. Mm. Slavery movies are not profitable. Mm. Then they want us to continuously see us in a certain light. You are an entertainer. You are not an owner. You're an entertainer. You're not an owner. There's one movie I constantly talk about, Mr. Deeds. I'm not a big Tyler Perry fan at all, right? That one movie he made where he showed a black billionaire family who owned this building, so many people never even knew that movie existed because they said, nah, we ain't going to promote that to them. But they promote everything else. So when you continuously turn a mirror on somebody and say, look at yourself, but the only thing you see is you starting from chains and you ending up shooting a jump shot or catching a football, but you don't see yourself in a suit. You don't see yourself running a business, but you can hold that mirror up to any other race and they will find themselves owning something, not being owned, not saying that, oh, I'm going to shoot the ball, which is fine being a ball player, but there's the evolution of becoming that player to the owner. And we find it hard to get there, or most a lot of times we're stopped from being there. Yeah. When you talk to people about paperwork, living trust, things of that nature, it's like, oh my God, life insurance, it scares them.
Yeah.
It's like you have to understand the power's in the pen.
Yeah.
You dribble the ball and make a lot of money, but the person who signs your check with the pen makes way more than you.
Yeah.
And it's a club. Being a billionaire isn't some kind of thing you just grow into. It's a space that they invite you into. I'm not talking Kanye billion when they took it from him. I'm talking the real billionaire where they have to let you get into this stratosphere. But how many of us even think in that way?
Right.
So it's a lot to it, man. Right. It's a lot to it, man.
Right. So if you were to have a message, like a message to black people.
Yeesh, damn, bro. You don't put that on me.
I need that. You know, and you know, I'll preface it this way, right? I had the honor of sitting with Dr. Claude Anderson and his family who wrote Powernomics. Again, honor. It was an honor. We're actually working on a few projects together. This man is in his late 80s. And the passion, like he dedicated his whole life to the black community, trying to make us build community. But the one thing I left out of that meeting with was accountability for myself, right? Mm. I said, Ash, man, you've been in this space for over 15 years, teaching finance and teaching people how to make money and things of that nature. But you know, you're not going hard enough. That was it in a nutshell, because yes, I'm giving the information, but I'm not, number one, not showing, like, I'm doing it blasé. I'm not showing the urgency as to, you know, why we need to build this. And then also, I'm not providing sort of like the solutions that people need, for our community to build wealth. Right. And so I have made it a mission. My wife and I, Amina and I, have made it a mission. We got a book coming out together. Called the Abundance Formula, and we have a 9-step program, right? Like here are the 9 things you need to do, and like really take 1,000 families through this, and we're gonna quantify it. And so my message to the black community is about assets, right? But it's really about abundance, and it's about assets. It's about here are these 9 things that you need to do to really build multi-generational wealth. And so for you, as one of my elders, actually, right? Not even just a elder. You're somebody that I look at, that I get information from, that you help me from. And you're a father, you're a grandfather. Like you're somebody that's a leader in this community. What's your message to straighten us up, to get us where we need to go?
The way you thought of yourself, that person has to die. The way you saw our parents and our grandparents was because it was fit to their time. You no longer can look at yourself as being part of any kind of political party. You have to become part of a financial party. And that financial party has to start within your household. You have to realize that your children will be a complete identical reflection of what you think and what you say and what you do. And the thoughts that you carried on before, they have to die. Like, you have to look at everything you have now and see, could you carry that into the future with you? How long your job will be there? Do they control you? How much money you make? Can they take that money from you? How long will you be able to do these things? And if you don't have that endless control of every decision you're about to make in your life, you have to say to yourself, how do I get rid of that person who has that kind of control? You're in a time of being complacent about what you make and figuring it out later. Later is here. Later is now. There's no more, like, you have to start thinking and looking and investing in things like watching CNBC, Bloomberg, like CNN International. People with some of the biggest investments made by company has been credit, personal credit and personal debt, because they know people are going to be running, try to get themselves out of it to do what? Pay something off, to give money back to something, instead of taking that and now building wealth to it. So if you're not changing, it's over. Like, I I'm going to end on this one too, bro. I feel like we've come to the point where no matter what nobody say at this point, 90% of the people ain't going to make it. That's dead ass. 90%. You walk through your neighborhood, I don't care how nice it is. I want you to count on your hand how many people you think forward like you and go, yeah, they'll make it. You probably might find 5-6 people out of 300-400 people who you think that's going to see it through. Social media, when you flip through those pages and you see what they're marketing to us, same thing over and over. There's no more education on Instagram. There's no more educational stuff with all the people teaching you. You know why? Because we help make them billions. They straight now. They like, nah, we ain't letting y'all get no lives no more. We good. And you know what the problem is? If we own something and we trying to help each other, because you look like me, I don't think it's going to do nothing for me. Don't you know if I mentioned this early, if a black person owned Tubi, Tubi wouldn't be worth $1 billion because he was black. We're so focused on, yep, it's not one of mine. It's not ours. I'm going to put some money in it. That's a problem, bro. I just, not everybody's going to make it, man. Oh. That's how it is. We at that point now. It's like, yo, bunker down, yeah. Worry about yours, and that's it.
Yeah, yeah. Man, powerful. Before we wrap up, behind the scenes, we were talking about, monetizing what's going on, removing sort of like emotions out of what's happening and really learning to monetize, right? One example of that, it's crazy, and I'm gonna say this on whatchamacallit. I'm an independent. Like, I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I am an independent. I look at, I vote my interests. I look at everything. I look at all sides of things. I had posted, I had a debate on my, on the show, on Inside the Vault, where we were talking about Trump and, you know, Kamala. I had both opposing sides or whatever. And I guess just because I'm it's my show, I'm promoting both sides. This pissed me off though, too. It pisses me off because if anybody knows me and they know what I do for our community for real, I'm talking to, I'm talking to a potential, funder. To be able to go and, just teach in that community that needs me, right? And this person denied, right? Because here's the thing, is that the funding was so that we could create an event where we can teach the community about wealth, and we wanted to make it free to the community, right? And they have the money. This is what they have the money to do. And they said no because they didn't like my political views. And in my head, I said, my political views? I said, I don't even really share. I mean, not that I don't even share. I don't even have political views. Like I don't like any of them.
Right.
That's my, and I've been very vocal about that.
Right.
I don't like Trump or Kamala or the Democrats or the Republicans. I don't like none of them. I think, right? But to that though, I believe that I don't, because that's the thing, I do not care who's in office. I'm going to make the best out of who is in office. And so for the next 4 years, Trump is in office, I'm going to be studying what Trump is focusing on, right? Like cryptocurrency, he is a crypto-friendly president. You know, all of the things that he's focusing on, I want to see how can me and my family benefit that, and I'm going to teach that to my community, right? But again, people are so emotionally attached to their party that they will not focus on the things that will actually make their lives better, right? And so I say that, I just wanted to get it off my chest. You know who you are. You watching my content. You know who you are. You dead wrong for thinking, because again, I don't care about pot, like Storm said, right? We need to build the financial party. And if you're a follower of my work, you know what I do for real. And you know that what I teach is what is necessary to move us to the next space. But I'm gonna get off my chest, right? But you know, we talked earlier about rest in peace to the CEO who got murdered at United Healthcare, and not saying that anybody gloats over that,
right?
But there was opportunity even in that. Can you talk about that a little bit?
I'm fine with talking about it. You know, my brain thinks different. I woke up 6:30 in the morning. I turned on CNBC. I found out CEO was shot and killed. First thing I said is, how's that company gonna survive? I said, what is that stock gonna do? So I turned on my computer and I showed it the company. Made several thousand dollars because it wasn't no emotions involved. It was business. Just like a black dude from Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn made a couple thousand dollars. You know how many people in corporate America made millions of dollars off of the fact that that company won't be, not off his death, the fact that the company won't be able to sustain without a CEO for a certain amount of time?
Yeah.
The uncertainties of why?
Yeah.
And I just sat there and clicked the button, made a couple thousand dollars. My only regret is that I didn't bet more money. You know, the other side of me now going, I knew I was right. I should have put $100,000 on it and walked away with a couple million.
Yeah.
That's the way we have to think.
Yeah.
Our emotions is one thing that's keep getting us in trouble.
Yeah.
Somebody have a conversation. We can't get money together because, don't get me wrong, there's certain things that we can't agree on.
Right.
And politics shouldn't be it.
Right.
This is why
especially when there's a history of politics never really helping us.
No,
I get it, right? Like people are always going to talk about the things that the Republicans did this, or the Democrats did this, or this. But the truth of the matter, the hard truth is that at the end of the day, I have never seen in my lifetime and even in my history, I have never seen any laws that were enacted that benefited us specifically us at a high level.
Bro, they all work together.
Yeah.
When it comes down to it, behind closed doors, they're getting rich. If you look at how much money the Democrats made alone with insuring companies and investing and the PPP with both of them, they all made multi-million dollars.
Yeah.
So that means nothing. And I always felt like this, no matter who won, I still had to go to work.
Yeah.
No matter who won,
yeah.
I still had to do overtime.
Yeah.
No matter who it is, and we have to stop thinking that way. Our parents thought about, you know, the presidencies and this and that because that was their time.
Yeah.
This time is different. One thing I can say about the next generation coming up, our grandkids, they're breaking away from politics.
Yeah.
They're breaking away from religion.
Yeah.
And they're focusing in on finances. They're going to focus in on tech.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're really going to be a driving force.
Yeah.
The problem is that those who are running it, they want to make sure our kids and our culture look like us are going to be deprived, homeless, jobless, stress situations, so they can't capitalize off of that. So when you say this transfer of trillions of dollars of wealth that was on CNBC, they wasn't talking about black people. I just want to make that very clear. That wasn't BET talking about us. So when I see people post it and talk about it, I'm like, do you realize when there's Family Feud and they say we surveyed 100 people, they ain't surveyed people in Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn when they ask them about what kind of meat you put in your collard green, who putting raisins in their potato salad. Like they not, you feel what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So when they talked about that transition, it was talking about them. What is our wealth transitions gonna look like?
How do we get access to it though?
Get access to what?
To the wealth transfer. We create business, right? Like how do we do that? Because
Very simple.
Yeah.
The air you breathe is worth more money than you have today. Get yourself some life insurance policies. Start from there.
Yeah.
Life insurance policy, you may not be the one to benefit off the seed that you planted, but many people planted seeds that they were not able to sit under, enjoy the shade. You can be one of them. I'm not going to tell you, take your money and now go do it. Yeah, okay, cool. Go learn how to do leaps. Go learn how to do some trading. I will tell you to go do that, but guess what? Some people are stuck being workers.
Yeah.
Some people want to be Indians. They don't want to be chiefs. But what you need to do, get you some policies and say, this is how I'm going to set this up and let me do that. And now at least my kids have a fighting chance because they've taken away real estate from them, taken away jobs away from them. The neighborhoods are going to look different. Everything is going to change. And we're going to sit around and go, damn, I wish I would have did this. Nah, done.
On that note, y'all, look, another classic episode.
Appreciate you.
Inside the Vault with Ash Cash, my brother's store. Y'all need to run this up. Y'all need to share this. This is one of those ones where I need you to, like, you actually should be watching this with your family. You need to be sharing this video, like, with your family after you watched it. Y'all need to have a roundtable discussion about this. Y'all need to be commenting below. What do you agree with? What do you disagree with? What would you have done different? Like, I really want this to be a conversation that we have because it is urgent right now that we, first of all, take advantage of the wealth transfer, of the wealth that's available, all of the options that we have in order to multiply our wealth really, really quickly. So you want to, you know, make sure you take advantage of that. So again, share this, like this, watch it a few times, talk to it, talk about this, do some reaction videos, all that good stuff. Brother, if they could, if you want people to find you, if you want people to connect with you, where can they find you?
I am Storm Leroy on Instagram, or just Google Storm Leroy. That's it.
Yeah, yeah. My brother like my mother's kid. Y'all, I appreciate you, brother. This was long overdue.
We did it, brother.
Yeah, we did.
I need y'all to always seek knowledge.
Let's go, y'all.
Peace.
We are closing out the vault. Another awesome episode of Inside the Vault with Ash Cash, the greatest money mindset show on the planet. Make sure you go to our website, InsideTheVaultShow.com. Follow us on all social media platforms at Inside the Vault. Me, I am Ash Cash. Make sure you visit me, IamAshCash.com. You can follow me on all social media platforms at I am Ash Cash. I will see you next time, same place, in God's will.
Everyone's talking about AI these days, right? This season on Compiler, we're diving deep into how AI is reshaping the world we live in. Join us for a new season of Compiler, an original podcast from Red Hat. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcasts.
When you're with Amex Business Platinum, you have the card that works just as hard as you do. You give 150% to your business, and so does your card. With 1.5 times membership rewards points on select purchases, you earn rewards that can take your business further. And with complimentary access to more than 1,400 lounges globally, including the Centurion Lounge, you can stay up to speed no matter where your business takes you. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms and points cap apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness.